Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Soul Harvest by Theophilus Monroe and Michael Anderley. Narrated by Caitlin Davies. Chapter 1. When vampires operated public establishments in the past, they had done so in secret. They worked out of dark rooms in the back. Even the vampires we'd recently encountered at the Crown Center Mall had been masquerading as mall workers. The giant red neon Club Dracula sign over the newly renovated warehouse in Kansas City's historic West Bottoms district was evidence that times had changed. Sienna and I handed our IDs to the bouncer at the door. He wasn't a vampire, but he worked for Dracula. I expected he'd do a double take when he saw my name. Surely I was blacklisted. The walls inside were lined with black lights enchanted with power drawn from the underworld, probably through Dracula's sorcery. They were meant to prevent Sienna and me from sneaking around on the astral plane. We were on the head vampire's radar. From what Sienna found by hacking into the property records, this was only the first of many similar establishments Dracula had planned. Not all of them would be in Kansas City. I expected all his clubs would also have magically charged black lighting. Therefore, it was strange that the bouncer who took our $5 and checked our identification didn't recognize our names. Dracula was either so sure of himself that he didn't think Sienna and I were threats, or he wanted us to come see him. I wasn't sure which was more frightening. The bouncer grabbed Sienna's arm.
You're only 20.
Sienna nodded. Yep, just turned 20 last week, actually. I thought the minimum age was 18. The bouncer nodded and looked at me.
Give me your wrist.
My wrist? The bouncer dangled a neon green bracelet in his hand.
It's for drinks. Your underage friend doesn't get one.
Sienna laughed. Looks like it's a Mountain Dew night for me. I held out my wrist, and the bouncer, a hulking man with a shaved head and a goatee, tightened the bracelet more than I'd prefer. The club had live music. It was an agreeable change from the usual Kansas City club that blasted top 40 dance hits with too much bass every night. I didn't recognize the band. I wasn't hip about the local music scene, but they were cool. Their sound was like techno, dance, and hard rock mixed in a blender, minus the sound of the blender. The lead singer was an attractive dark-haired female. She had a deep and haunting voice and gave off serious vampire vibes. There was no way to know unless I got closer and checked her for fangs. Getting through the crowd of gyrating half-dressed 20-somethings to check her out would probably be a waste of effort. She was just singing, and looks can be deceiving. In my experience, vampires went out of their way not to fit the stereotypes. Cool place, Sienna remarked. I nodded. Sure. I still can't believe he got away with this. Not long ago, Dracula was a bloodthirsty monster lurking in the shadows. Now he's an entrepreneur. Sienna shook her head. Stupid politicians. 6 months ago, the legendary vampire whose name was on the front in neon had killed my mom. Kevin was currently running a SWAT squad trained to eliminate vampire covens. The last time I had seen Dracula in the flesh, he had been making a deal with Hades. Hades had tried to use Dracula to distract me and prevent me from stopping him from taking over Olympus. In exchange, Hades promised Dracula a chance to rule the world. How the god of the underworld could offer that, I wasn't sure. However, Dracula had somehow progressed from being a murderous myth to a philanthropist who had a number of politicians in his back pocket. How had he done it? Perhaps he had used his natural vampiric allure. Maybe he had blackmailed them. He was a sorcerer as well as a vampire. Could that explain his rapid rise? More than likely, it had been Dracula's wealth. Give generously to charities, donate to the right political campaigns, and the powers that be will turn a blind eye. Kevin had tried and failed to get Dracula's new club shut down. The department's anti-vampire initiative had been shut down instead. According to Kevin, it was political. Vampires were now considered a historically oppressed class that had been forced into darkness for centuries and warped to the point where they had no choice but to turn to violence to survive under a system dominated by human privilege. It was bullshit. Don't get me wrong. I'm as progressive as they come when it comes to social justice. I felt for genuine victims of historical oppression. I recognized the inequalities inherent in the power structures of Western society. Vampires, though, were killers by nature. The only thing they craved more than blood was power. The list of Dracula's victims was probably as long as the Kansas City phone book, but he'd convinced a growing number of people that vampires were the victims. Heaven forbid the police exacerbated their oppression by eliminating their murderous covens. Dracula was up to no good. How did I know it? He was Dracula. I'm not saying that people, or even monsters, can't change, but his resume was convincing. Back in the day, people had thought he was a noble. Calling himself a philanthropist and convincing folks of his nobility was the same game. I had to stop him, with Sienna's assistance. We couldn't rely on the cops. Kevin would help if I asked, but he had to wade through departmental red tape. That was why we had come to Club Dracula. We weren't there to kill the owner. We could not pull it off by waltzing into his club through the front door, especially without the ability to use the astral plane. We were there for recon. He was up to something. A sign just past the bouncer said the night's proceeds would be donated to a local homeless shelter. Villainy with a veneer of philanthropy, and only I, Sienna, and our friends saw through it. If I made a public move against Dracula, I'd be the villain. Before we could try to kill Dracula, we had to gather more information. What was he up to? What was his end game? Elevating the city's homeless population wasn't it. He was covering something up. I just had to figure out what it was. The club had two floors. The second floor was like a balcony that extended along all four sides of the building, overlooking the dance floor on the ground floor.
Think Dracula is upstairs? Sienna asked.
I looked at the balcony. The lighting made everyone up there appear to be silhouetted. One figure, tall and lanky, was leaning over the edge with both hands on the rail, surveying the scene below. That might be him. I tilted my head in that direction.
He's watching us.
All the more reason to suspect he's the one we're looking for.
Should we go talk to him? Sienna asked.
I shrugged. Can't hurt. He knows we're here. A spiral staircase led to the upper floor. Two men who made the bouncer at the front door look like a dwarf stood in front of the stairs.
Act confident, I directed, like we're supposed to be here. Maybe they'll let us through. Can't hurt, Sienna agreed.
We approached the two men. I smiled at them and was about to step past onto the stairs when they stepped in front of me.
This area is for VIPs only,
I snorted. I'm a very important person.
So am I, Sienna added. Just ask my mom.
I bit the inside of my cheek. The bouncers weren't buying it.
Look, is Dracula here?
Who is asking?
One of the bouncers asked.
Let the ladies through,
a man with an Eastern European accent said.
Don't you know who these girls are?
The bouncers looked at each other. One of them shrugged and they stepped apart. Dracula was smiling so broadly that there was no hiding his fangs.
Welcome to my club, friends.
I snorted. We're not your friends.
Come now, Zoe. I know what happened to your mother. That's history, isn't it? There's no reason we can't be friends now,
I huffed. Pompous didn't even begin to describe Dracula. He'd killed my mom. That's not the kind of history you can just sweep under the rug. What are your plans here, vampire? I asked. Dracula extended his hand.
Why don't you two come up for a chat? I have nothing to hide.
Sienna and I exchanged glances. This was why we were here. We wanted information. If Dracula was going to hand it to us on a silver platter, we wouldn't ignore his invitation. However, his exuberant welcome was suspicious.
Come now, Dracula added. I don't bite. Well, I do. But I won't tonight. You have my word.
Sienna huffed.
Your bite wouldn't do anything to me anyway.
Dracula nodded.
You're one of us, aren't you, honey?
Don't call me honey, and I'm not like you.
If you say so.
Dracula licked his thumbs and slicked back his eyebrows. He'd modernized his look. He was wearing a perfectly tailored black suit, and his shirt was unbuttoned. A pendant dangled from a gold chain around his neck. I nodded. We'll talk.
Delightful.
Dracula clapped his hands together.
Follow me. I can't wait to show you around. You love what I have done to the place.
We followed him upstairs. My stomach was in knots. This wasn't a run-of-the-mill vampire. I had half a mind to summon my scythe and take him out right there on the stairs. I glanced at the sigil on my wrist. Dracula turned around.
Is that any way to treat your host? I've been more than welcoming, love.
I wasn't doing anything.
You were thinking about it. Let's put all those thoughts aside, shall we?
I pressed my lips together. How do you know what I'm thinking? Dracula chuckled.
I turned my back on the one person in the world who might stand a chance of sending me to hell. You have a motive, or you think you do. It doesn't take special powers to sort out your intentions.
I grimaced. Whatever. When we reached the upper level, leather couches were arranged around the edges. Many featured men surrounded by beautiful half-dressed women. Some of them might have been vampires. I recognized a few of them. The mayor of Kansas City was there. So was one of the local representatives. A male reporter from the nightly news reclined on one of the couches. A pretty girl, half his age, was rubbing his feet. Another was feeding him chocolate-dipped strawberries from a tray.
What in the world is this? I asked.
It's called hospitality, love.
I snorted. I'm not your love. You killed my mother.
You don't know the full story. Perhaps you'd like to join me in my suite so we can talk about it.
You think we're going to go into a dark room with you?
Sienna asked.
I'm not the one with an ethereal scythe that could send me to hell, am I?
I narrowed my eyes. Let's go. I'd love to hear how you justify murder. Dracula grinned and gestured at a red leather padded door against the back wall.
Follow me.
He pressed his hand to a small screen next to the door, and the lock clicked. He opened it and gestured inside.
Ladies first.
I raised an eyebrow.
What can I say? I'm old-fashioned. Surely that doesn't come as a surprise, Miss Grimm.
Sienna and I stepped inside. Two red velvet couches were situated around a mahogany coffee table. Three wine glasses were ready and poured. I tilted my head. You were expecting us? Dracula laughed.
Of course I was. I knew you were here. I figured it was only a matter of time before you sought me out. Have a seat.
I sat down. Sienna perched beside me.
I'm only 20. I can't drink.
Pishtosh, Dracula exclaimed. You're a vampire, dear. Those laws don't apply to you.
Sienna glared at him.
Daywalker.
Still a vampire. Or do you think you're too good for us?
It's not that,
I interjected. It's exactly that. She doesn't kill people's mothers. Dracula sighed and sat across from us. He took a sip from his glass. I stared at mine.
It's Merlot, Zoe. It isn't blood, if that was what you were thinking.
I bit my lip. Fine. I'll still pass.
It's from my personal collection. I must insist. You won't find a finer Merlot on this side of the Atlantic.
I appreciate the gesture. How about we cut to the chase?
Your mother. The way I see it, she came after me. I acted in self-defense. What was I supposed to do? For decades, I've lived in luxury and relative peace. I'm well aware of the legends surrounding me. Your mother wasn't the first Van Helsing to try to take me out.
Van Helsing? Dracula shrugged.
It's my nickname for vampire hunters. The point is, if she hadn't come after me, I would not have harmed her.
I'm sure she had good reason, I countered. I heard you were turning people.
I only turn the willing or the dying. I'm not a monster.
Are you kidding? Sienna asked. You're like the headliner for the monster show. Think of monster movies. You star in some of the most famous.
They're meant to terrify those who don't understand our kind. Tell me, girl, how many people from your former life have you told that you're a vampire?
Sienna huffed.
Not many.
Of course not. As soon as people hear that you crave blood and you are a vampire, they'll think you are a monster. A killer.
Sienna shrugged. They wouldn't understand that I'm different.
Dracula grinned.
We're all different, child. You've met your share of less civilized vampires. That Katharina was a real piece of work. She gave us a bad name.
I snorted. And Vlad? Vincent? Nosferatu? Oh yeah, and Clarence. Need I go on?
Dracula shrugged.
So you fell in with a bad lot. We're not all the same.
You still killed my mother! Do you expect me to buy the reformed philanthropic vampire BS you've been selling people?
Dracula took a deep breath.
Please try the wine.
I narrowed my eyes, then lifted the glass and took a small sip.
Damn, that is good.
Told you. Please enjoy. It's my pleasure. It's the least I can do, and if I'm not mistaken, your mother was only dead for a little while.
I shrugged. No thanks to you.
Still, she's doing well. She's ruling Olympus with your father now.
I tilted my head. How do you know about that?
Dracula smiled.
I hear things. The point is, sometimes bad things happen, but work out for the best. All's well that ends well. Besides, there was nothing I could do about it. Her name was on the Reaper's schedule. She was going to die that day, no matter what I did.
I tilted my head. How do you know about Reaper's schedules?
Again, I hear a lot of things.
I shook my head. I saw you talking to Hades. You and he made a deal.
What of it?
He was going to give you the world in exchange for you assisting him with his coup to seize Olympus.
Dracula shrugged.
First, it's not my fault he couldn't pull it off. I gave him what he wanted. He was the one who saw to it that your mother was on the schedule for the harvest. I agreed to follow through, only in self-defense, if she came after me. In exchange for that, he gave me influence.
Influence? It sounded to me like he was offering you a chance to rule the world.
Dracula rolled his eyes.
What interest do I have in ruling humans? Please. He gave me the world. By that, he meant he handed me one of the many tools that he uses to lure human souls to the path that leads to hell.
What tool was that?
Dracula grinned.
Political influence.
I stared at Dracula blankly. Oh, please.
Do you really think that the devil isn't in politics? I know you've been on Earth for a few years, love. Surely you've figured that out.
I tilted my head. So all the bullcrap about vampires being historically oppressed, equal rights, philanthropy, and making the world a better place was just you wielding this power you got from Hades?
Dracula shrugged.
He gave me the ability to influence powerful people because I wanted to make the world a better place. What's wrong with that?
I snorted. By getting the local politicians drunk and giving them hookers?
I'm entertaining them, child. If they choose to indulge in such things, that's their choice. I'm forcing no one's hand. They're snakes, love. If you want to tame a snake, you have to feed it. Politicians are the same. Feed their baser instincts, and you can pacify their venomous natures.
What's the deal with the black lights, then? If you're really a goody-two-shoes vampire, why the extra measures to thwart me?
I'm not an idiot, Miss Grimm. I knew you'd come for me. I'd be a fool not to protect myself.
I narrowed my eyes. I still don't buy it. What's your end game, Dracula?
I told you, Miss Grimm. I'm making the world a better place.
A better place for who?
For whom?
Dracula corrected. Whatever. You heard the question.
Dracula smirked.
I suppose there will always be those who prefer the status quo, who think they're better off with the way things have always been. I won't deny that some of them might find the reforms I've set in motion displeasing. It's growing pains, dear. They'll see the truth in time.
What does this better world look like? Sienna asked.
That depends on the choices people make, Dracula replied. All I do is provide opportunity. I'm offering humanity a chance to have a future without war, without violence, and without hate and prejudice.
At what cost? I asked. Dracula took another sip of his wine.
Everything has a cost, dear. Those things are worth just about any cost, wouldn't you agree?
I pressed my lips together. Just about is the part I'm worried about. It's not worth our freedom.
Says who? Dracula asked. Thomas Jefferson, maybe. Newsflash, love, he's dead. What has freedom bought your world? Since the advent of democracy, we've seen more death and bloodshed than in every era combined. Freedom is an illusion. We imagine we're free from certain things, and we rebel when we perceive we're oppressed. Have you ever considered, though, what we might be free for if humans weren't enslaved by constant dissension, war, and bigotry?
I set my glass back on the table. You're a smooth talker, Drac. I'll give you that. I still think you're up to no good. I'm going to find out what it is. Dracula stood and bowed his head.
I have nothing to hide. Please take your glass with you. It's on me.
I wanted to take my glass, throw it at the vampire, and say, now it's on you. I resisted, deciding to play it cool. I picked up my glass and turned to leave. Sienna lifted her wine.
Cheers. Thanks for the wine.
Dracula bowed. I narrowed my eyes. Sienna was being polite. She was matching his false hospitality with a show of her own. I was inclined to meet Dracula's bow with a show of my ass. Once again, though, I held back. Mooning the most notorious vampire in history wasn't a good idea, but it's the thought that counts. We opened the door and were about to walk through it when three females blocked our path. Two had dark hair and aquiline noses that were similar in shape to Dracula's hooked snot locker. The third had wavy golden locks. Her skin was fair and unblemished. Her grin revealed that she was a vampire, but her eyes didn't match. They were like pale blue sapphires. Her lips were full. They were all narrow-waisted and large-busted. They eyed me with desire. The blonde vampire licked her lips and winked at me. The other two giggled.
Come in, ladies. They were just leaving.
The three girls filed past me into the room. I couldn't get out of there fast enough. Sienna scurried out too and closed the door behind her.
How weird were they? Sienna asked. Do you think they were sisters? Two of them looked sort of like Dracula. They had beaks for noses. Do you think they have a hawk in their family tree?
I chuckled. I don't know. I've heard Dracula can change into a bat, though. Sienna shook her head.
There was something off about them. They were vampires, but...
The blonde had blue eyes. Have you ever seen that in a vampire? Sienna shook her head.
I can't say I have.
I think weird is the right word. Whatever the case, I have a feeling that they're a part of whatever he's up to. I just wish we knew what that was.
He didn't tell us anything we didn't know. He's playing the good guy. But for what?
I took a deep breath. He knows how to put on a good face, that's for sure. Bury a heap of dung in snow, though, and no matter how pretty it is, if you dig deep enough, you hit shit.
The thicker the snow, the deeper you have to dig.
I nodded. That's what scares me. The bigger the pile, the more snow is needed to cover it. With as much work as he's doing to make himself look noble, there must be something really nasty underneath it.
Unless he isn't hiding anything.
Do you really believe that? Sienna scratched her head.
I don't know, Zoe. Yeah, he's a vampire. While I hate using that word, so am I. Over the last few months, my urges have gotten more powerful. I've had to feed more often than before. I don't think it's turned me into a monster. Perhaps we should consider that he isn't as vile as we assumed. Maybe he has a point. We've judged vampires more for what they are than who they are.
You're taking his side?
It's not about sides, Zoe. If we can't allow that he might have good intentions simply because of what he is, I have to wonder why you still trust me.
That's different, Sienna. I know you. I've been with you from the beginning. You're also a different kind of vampire.
Not in the ways that make them monsters. People think vampires are monsters because they drink blood. Have you seen what's on my menu lately?
You didn't kill my mother, Sienna.
Fair point. But what if it was self-defense? I loved your mom, Zoe, but she's never been the sort to ask a lot of questions before jamming her stake in a vampire's heart.
I sighed. I can't believe we're having this conversation.
This isn't about your mom, Zoe. It's about me. You can't judge every vampire for being a vampire if you aren't going to judge me, too. I told you, that's different. It's not as different as you think. Sienna frowned. Whatever. Let's get the hell out of here.
Chapter 2. Sienna and I barely said a word on the drive back to the apartment. Granted, we were on the Harley, so conversation wasn't possible, given the road noise and the roar of the engine. We still weren't chatty when we parked and went up to the apartment. Was she really entertaining the notion that Dracula might be a good guy? He was Dracula, for hell's sake. He killed my mother. He did it when Hades told him he had to in exchange for political influence. How did that make him better than any dictator in history who'd murdered his way to the top? I couldn't believe she was taking my refusal to consider Dracula's false goodness as a slight to her. I'd fought side by side with Sienna. She had never killed a human being. When she fed, we used donated blood. Sure, maybe she had robbed a blood bank or two using her brooch to break in on the astral plane, but that was understandable. That blood was donated to save lives. Using it to feed Sienna was doing that in a roundabout way. It meant she didn't have to risk biting someone. Sienna disappeared into her bedroom. She was probably calling Dylan. I couldn't say he was her boyfriend. He was a werewolf, and he was with us in Kansas City in our fight with Athena. There was fire between the two, so much so that after he left to rejoin his pack in Louisiana, the first thing I did was shampoo the couch. Not that Kevin and I never did it on the couch, but that's beside the point. It was my couch. When other people screwed on it, it was my prerogative to shampoo it afterward. As much time as she spent on the phone talking to Dylan, he might as well have been her boyfriend. She'd planned a trip to go see him once, but it had fallen through because, you know, saving the world and whatnot. I wondered if Sienna wanted Dracula to be a good guy, just so she'd have a good excuse to leave and see Dylan. I know it's silly to think that way, but Sienna was young. Young people who think they're in love are notoriously stupid. The Gorgon sisters, Svetlana and Uriali, had moved out a few weeks earlier when the apartment next to mine became vacant. My former neighbor had complained that there was too much weirdness going on. He wasn't wrong, but my dad had paid good money for the place, and apart from killing a few vampires in the stairwell, I had done nothing that merited expulsion. When my neighbor left, the Gorgons jumped at the opportunity. Since Kevin was working late on a case and I wouldn't see him until the next day, I figured I'd head over and see what my snake-headed friends were up to. It was a Friday night, and if we weren't going out, Netflix and chill by myself felt like a loser move. At least the Gorgons could keep me company, and maybe they'd have some insight into the issue with Sienna and Dracula. Cerberus was asleep in his hellhound-sized bed in the corner. I opened the front door and closed it carefully, so as not to disturb him, then walked down the hall 10 paces and knocked on the Gorgon's door. Svetlana answered.
Zoe, come in. I'm glad you're here.
When I stepped inside, I heard a lot of banging and moaning from the back bedroom.
They're going at it like rabbits in there. I'm going to lose my mind sitting out here listening to it. Talk to me. I don't care what about. Anything to distract me.
Wait, I exclaimed. Uriali has a guy back there? Svetlana looked at me blankly.
She has two.
I laughed so hard I snorted.
Say what?
Svetlana shook her head.
I think she's making up for lost time. Her body is in its prime now, you know.
I snickered. During our battle with Athena, Uriali had been beheaded, but since the Gorgon sisters were immortal, it didn't kill her. Over the last several months, she had regrown a new body. Seeing a grown woman's head on a toddler's body had been so freaky that it still gave me nightmares. She grew fast, though. In less than a year, she'd reached maturity. She now had a well-shaped, womanly figure, and she wasn't shy about flaunting it. Apparently, more than one guy had noticed, at the same time. They aren't freaked out that she has snakes for hair? I think that would be a deal-breaker for a guy, I coughed. Or two.
Guys don't care about hair, Zoe. They're more focused on her other assets.
I grinned. Well, if one of the guys can't keep it up, she can make him as hard as rock, at least. Svetlana smirked.
That would be funny if she hadn't done that before.
My jaw dropped. You're serious?
She turned a
sample complete. Ready to continue?